Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, this is a legal show, a law talk show. We talk law here for you. We're ready to answer your questions, solve your problems on any legal subject. The telephone number is 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. And in the mountains, 970-457-1009. 457-1009. Welcome to all of our stations, all of our listeners. We're here for you. You know we're injury attorneys in our day lives, but our radio lives right here, we're here for you to, on any legal subject, not just injury subjects. We do injury shows are aired other ways, other places, other stations, other times. We're here for you. 303-713-8255. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-littered website. And if you want to know what to do before an accident happens on our website, there's a button you can hit, and it goes through all of that, how you can protect yourself, prevent certain things from happening. Also, if you're in an accident, don't you really not want to know? Wouldn't you really want to know what to do and say to the insurance adjuster for the at-fault party on the very first phone call? What can they say and what do you need to do? What are your rights? Well, right, go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's right there for you. There's a button you can hit. You can listen to it. And we cover exactly what you need to know before you talk to the adjuster. Because I tell you what, they know what to do. They know. They're highly trained. We're talking a lot with Dave this morning. Good morning, Dave. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Morning.
What can we do for you, sir?
Well, I have a question regarding some tree limbs that were brought down from the neighbor's trees onto my property. I'd like to know, is it their responsibility to clean them up, yes or no?
Okay, did they fall down or were they cut down? What happened?
The snow, you know, the weight of the snow we had in that last blizzard.
Right.
They brought it down on a couple of them, about probably 6-inch diameter limbs are going to take cutting up and getting off my property.
Well, basically, here's what the rule is. When trees hang over the boundary line, you have the ability to cut the trees, those branches on your boundary line, so long as you're not killing the trees. Okay. It's kind of a shared responsibility that goes on when the trees are hanging over into your property, even though the tree is on his boundary line. And we went through this a number of times. We've gone through it. When the tree, and people don't like it, but it seems to be the rule out there that you can't kill your neighbor's tree, even if his tree branches are hanging over your boundary line. You can trim the trees. You can require the neighbor to trim the trees. You could ask the neighbor to trim the trees. Of course, the neighbor then needs to be able to get onto your boundary line, but you have the first responsibility to trim those branches back.
Well, these were, you know, fairly up fairly high, so I didn't have any trimming.
Right.
And I didn't know they're going to get broke off, and now they're broke off. Can I ask him to clean them up, yes or no?
Yes, you.
And have legal standing.
Basically, you can ask him to clean them up, and you can say he should be doing it, but basically you're not going to be able to go into a court and require that he come over and clean up that tree.
You'd have to sue him for an injunction. That's a long story, a long way around the ranch, but anyway. You can ask him, but your question is, do you have legal standing to ask him? Of course you do. Do you have legal standing to go to court to enforce it? Probably not.
They're going to tell you need to clean up your own yard. The tree, the branches fell off under your tree. It's the same thing. Believe it or not, we've had people complain that the neighbor's leaves blow onto their.
The other thing, Dave, I want to tell you, I don't necessarily agree personally with what we're saying. I don't like it. I think, personally, the neighbor ought to be responsible for the tree, and if the limbs fall on your property, period, paragraph, done. But we're talking about rules of law.
Okay.
All right?
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
I don't think you like that answer.
No, I don't think I like the answer either, but, you know, that's I don't like a lot of things I see, but we're not here to express my opinion or Brad's opinion. We're here to answer your questions. It's the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. It's a law talk show. It's not a political show. We're injury attorneys. We do the show as a community service to help you answer your questions on any legal subject. 303 713 8255, and we're talking law with Gina. Good morning, Gina. Are you from Frederick?
I am.
Well, how are you doing in Frederick today?
Well, I'm doing terrific. Thank you for asking.
Sure. What can we do for you?
I had a question about MedPay on auto policies.
Yes, ma'am.
I guess a lot of companies used to offer up to $100,000, and most of them don't anymore. And I was talking to another attorney, and he said, well, even if you do get the most you can on any particular policy, right, actually getting that payout can be very difficult. So I was just wondering what your take was on all of that.
We could talk to you a couple of months about this subject. So here's our take on the situation. In the old days, we had the no-fault insurance. The law sunsetted, which means it went away. It got replaced. We were defaulted back to our old common law system called the tort system. That's the history. So under no-fault, yeah, you had over $100,000 of benefits automatically payable without regard to fault and if you're in an accident. So that's gone. So now what we have is MedPay, i.e. your question. MedPay. So companies have to write a statutory minimum of $5,000, period, unless you waive it in writing. Never waive it in writing. But to answer your question, it depends on the company, meaning some companies sell up to 25 grand in MedPay, some 50, some 100. My company sells 100,000. I bought it. Now, the law changed a few years back that said when you're an injured person and you get injured in an accident and you recover money from the at-fault insurance company for your injuries, you have to pay the MedPay back. So they were pretty free at paying their medical bills because they got paid back most of the time. Then the law changed a few years ago and said they do not get paid back. So these insurance companies that have to issue MedPay, they don't get paid back, so they want to limit their exposure since they're not going to get their money back. Of course, they already got the premium money. So they're going to limit their exposure. And yes, Brad and I have experienced numerous difficulties, many difficulties in getting insurance companies not going to name which ones, to pay the MedPay. They don't want to pay. They invent reasons. They say it's not reasonable and necessary. It's not connected to the accident. It's this, it's that, it's this, it's that. Answering your question okay?
Well, how do you find out which companies aren't going to pay it?
Well, I'll talk to you off the air and tell you. Go ahead, Brad.
I can tell you USAA is one that fights you tooth and nail not to pay it. I can tell you that's one insurance company that does. There's a number of companies who now are trying to pay less than what the doctors charge. This is an area that's ripe with problems. One of the problems is that doctors, chiropractors, healthcare providers, if they see there's MedPay there, will do a lot of care and a lot of charging and collect a lot of money. And I'm not talking just chiropractors. Please excuse me. I didn't mean to say they're the only ones. A lot of doctors will do that. And they aren't subject to automatic reductions of their bill that you see done by your healthcare provider, your healthcare insurance companies. And you have insurance companies who fight it like crazy, not wanting to pay the full amount or don't want to pay any of certain care, saying it's not reasonable and necessary. And when you ask what company is doing it and what company isn't, I can tell you, like I said, I know USAA fights you tooth and nail to pay its MedPay. But tomorrow it might be Farmers, and the next day it might be State Farm, because you just don't know what company is going to make that move on any given day and decide they're going to start doing it. I recently had some problems with Farmers and both State Farm, both, in getting them to pay the full amount of the MedPay. They cut back the amount, trying to reduce the healthcare provider's bill. And, of course, the healthcare provider is saying he wants full payment.
And, Gina, we got to go to break. I got a couple more things to tell you on the situation. Can you hang with us during the break?
Sure. Yeah,
okay, I'm going to put you on hold. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We got a MedPay question pending. And for those of you who are wondering, MedPay is on your own car insurance policy. It pays for your medical bills, regardless of whether you were at fault. It pays for your medical bills, statutory minimum of $5,000. So what do you do? We're going to cover that on the other side of the break. Bell and Pollock, we'll be right back.
There's a voice in my head that drives my heel.
Maine. Welcome back. The Bell and Pollack Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack. We are injury attorneys. We do this show for you as a community service to answer your questions, solve your problems on any legal subject. This is a law talk show, not a political show. We're here for you. Right before the break, we were talking to Gina from Frederick about a MedPay question. And Gina, so I kind of laid the groundwork for MedPay. MedPay is supposed to pay for your medical bills. It's on your own car insurance policy. And some people don't want to even want to file a claim with MedPay, but it's primary under state law. Companies do sell higher amounts. And then the question is, why don't they pay the bills? And they fight it because the law changed about 5 years ago where they didn't get paid their money back. The insurance company that paid your medical bills used to get paid back out of the recovery by the injured party. They used to get paid back. They don't get paid back anymore. So they have devised a way. And one company uses outside services, one's called Auto Injury Solutions, and their job is to challenge the medical bills. So if you have a doctor that treats you, let's say they send you down for an MRI, let's say they suspect you've got swelling on the head, you're in an accident, they send you to the hospital for an MRI, MRI is very expensive, then the MedPay says, we're not going to pay that because that's not reasonable. Your doctor said it was reasonable. You, the insured, you don't know. You're just following your doctor's advice. The insurance company says we're not going to pay the MedPay because that's not a reasonable and necessary charge. And that's exactly what's happening, Gina. I don't know if we've been answering your questions, but I wanted to get that part in.
Yeah, I guess the other thing that I was told was if you buy at certain thresholds, that's automatically going to trigger the entry of one of those third parties. So if you're like at 5,000 or 10,000, your bills will probably be paid no problem. But as soon as you're 25 or more, you're automatically in that vortex of the third party provider figuring things out for the company.
Well, I don't know if it's when you buy, but it's when you make claims of that amount. So you're automatically going to trigger it.
They
take you up to higher levels. But here's the thing. MedPay is a good thing to have. And MedPay is something you need to fight and work at very hard to make sure the amount is being fairly paid. Let's say I have State Farm Insurance Company and I get in an accident and State Farm comes in to pay my medical bills and I'm getting billed by the emergency people, I'm getting paid by the ambulance. By the time the ambulance takes me to the emergency room keeps me there throughout the night or maybe overnight, I've exceeded $5,000. The bill's going to be more than $5,000. Now, State Farm might want to fight that. And it's going to leave me in the middle. So, you know, the bottom line I'm going to do as the insured is I'm going to say, hey, healthcare provider, doctor, hospital, ambulance, you guys gave me this care and you guys charged me an amount for it. The insurance company State Farm says it's too high or wasn't necessary. You guys get this figured out. What I'm going to do, insurance company, is tell you I want my money paid for the appropriate care and you ambulance and hospital and doctor and anybody else who cared for me, if you're billing too much or giving me unnecessary care, you get it straightened out. Yes, it's going to trigger a review, but the bottom line is that when you then go against the at-fault party and ask the at-fault party for that money needs to get paid back to you. And the at-fault party is going to have to pay you back the reasonable and necessary and usual and customary amount of the bill. And so you need to start out by saying at the very beginning, I need the usual and customary amount to be paid, and I need the reasonable and necessary amount to be paid. And I want my MedPay. I want it there because I don't want to be facing a lot of deductibles, a lot of copays, a lot of money that I can't pay or that I'm having to take out of my pocket for somebody else's negligence, that I may not see that money until 2 or 3 years down the line, or I may be facing a problem collecting it when I want to go to a jury trial.
But, you know, and we encourage people to buy the highest MedPay you can. You know that all the time. But more to your point, Gina, is there a cutoff? Is there a threshold that you meet that they start fighting this? So my answer to you is I don't know of any facts about that, but I can tell you experience-wise, they do it. And if it's $5,000, I think you're right. They just pay it without question. They blindly pay it because they know they got to. But when you get to $25, $50, or $100, which you should buy, everybody should buy it, as high as you can, then I think there is a threshold. I don't know the facts in the computer program, but I do know it's been proven or shown in the past that when you're in a what they call a MIST case, the insurance companies have a MIST, M-I-S-T, minor impact soft tissue injury case, minor impact soft tissue. They do have thresholds. They do put it into a special program, and they fight those cases. So I wouldn't doubt it. I don't have any facts to tell you, but I can tell you from experience that's what happened.
Gene, I just last week, though, dealt with a case where the med pay was $5,000. They're only sending the client $3,500. The bills are $5,000. They say it's pursuant to a, quote, Coventry contract. There's no such contract. Nobody ever signed it. And they reduced the $5,000 bill to $3,500, saying, in essence, that the care provider billed too much. And they sent the money. They tried to send the money to my client. Fortunately, my client got in touch with me. I got the money. I took the checks. We're not cashing the checks. I called up the provider. I said, do you have a Coventry contract? Do you realize they cut your bill by $1,500? The provider said no. They said, we'll call the insurance company. And I told those two to get it worked out and to start getting something figured out. Because, you know, they would love to have had my insured or my client take the money and pay, and then my client gets stuck for the extra $1,500.
I want to make one more point. You asked a really great question, Gene. I want to make one more point. Let's do some math this morning. It's early Saturday, but let's do it. I'm not sure I can do it. Make yourself the insurance company, Gina.
All right.
And if you can save $1,000 on a $5,000 med pay times a million customers.
Oh, yeah.
What do you got? I can't do the math, but the point's there. You know what I mean?
Can I have you clarify one more thing?
Yes, ma'am.
You said your insurance company pays the med pay, but it's not going to be paid back. But just a minute ago, you said trying to recover from the at-fault party.
Okay, so let me clarify that. You're injured, okay, in a car accident. Your med pay on your own car insurance company is going to pay your medical bills. They want the money back. The only way they can get the money back is if you, the injured person, go make a claim against the person who hit you.
Okay.
So let's make an example. If you record, if you they paid you $5,000 in medical bills, you recovered $30,000 for your injury. Okay. In that example, they want the your insurance company wants the $5,000 back, but they don't get it back anymore because the statute changed and they don't like it.
So if you cause the accident, the accident, there's no at fault party. They just pay your med pay and move on.
And go on down the road.
If somebody else caused the accident, they pay your bill. Your insurance company pays your bill. You go to the at-fault party and collect that money back. Now that money is in your pocket. The insurance company still doesn't get it.
Correct.
But they look quite often when the insured's going to get the money back from the at-fault party, it bothers the insurance companies because they don't like it. But, of course, the insurance company's already collected a premium from you for all those years that you've been paying a premium to get this stockpile of money to be able to pay the med pay. So, you know,
what was the rationale for that legislation?
Well, exactly that. They said, look, you're paying in your premium, you're paying money every single month or every 6 months to the insurance company for med pay. So they're already collecting your money in advance.
They underwrote the risk.
To pay your med pay, they underwrote the risk. They're saying now they want to get the money back when you collect it from the at-fault party, so they're double dipping in essence. And they're saying, wait a minute, the insured's already paid for the coverage.
So we collect the premium money, we the insurance company collect the premium money, and we want our money back. That's a pretty good deal for them.
And our legislature stopped it. Our courts stopped it, actually.
Yeah. All right, Gina?
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. We appreciate it. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're here to answer all your questions. We're going to talk law with John. Good morning, John. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Good morning, Mr. Bell. According to my numbers with your map, $1,000 for 1 million customers is roughly $1 billion. So that sounds worthwhile for them to try to screw people out of that $1,000.
You're exactly right, John. It's $1 billion.
God bless you, John. Somebody's doing the math around here. I can't do it.
I work nights, so this is like 6 o'clock at night for me right now. So.
Okay, good man.
All right, so my question, my wife and I were involved in a car accident on March 24th or 25th in Greeley. We were pulling out of a Walmart. She was driving, and we had a green arrow to turn left, and this is actually right after the last snowstorm that we had. Greeley didn't get a lot of snow, but we got a lot of blowing sleet. So what happened was the southbound light was just completely snow covered. I have tons of pictures and videos of all of this. But anyways, the bottom line is this elderly gentleman ran the red light because we had a green arrow. The other lane stopped, ran the red light, hit my wife, and pretty much just munched up the front tire and axle. It's bent. It's undrivable. I've had a few people look at it. It looks like roughly $500 to $800 in parts alone. Here's the issue. The officer that showed up 20 minutes later spent 10 seconds with my wife. I immediately got out after the accident. I was taking video. I was taking video of everything, of him, the damage, the lights.
Good job.
Thank you. I was trying. I made sure my daughter and my wife and I were okay, and then I got out and started taking video.
Right, John, we got to go to break. Can you hang with us on the, over the break?
Absolutely, yeah, I can hang.
Okay, say, I appreciate it. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, our website, championsofthepeople.com, because we are your champions of the people. To the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys in our day lives. In our radio lives, we're here to help you on any legal subject. Welcome KRDO, welcome KEZZ, Steamboat Springs, KHOW, Western Slope, Eastern Plains, South, North. We're here for you. And, you know, following our show is the Consumer Real Estate Show. Don't forget that. Barry and Larry, we've worked with them before. I'm working with them. Very professional people, very knowledgeable people. And if you have a real estate question or issue, you can contact them. And right now we're going to talk to Eric at Caitlin's. Good morning, Eric. What's cooking?
Good morning. How are you? Good. How are you doing?
Good. Good.
Good's great. Listen, I got a couple specials to run by you guys real quick. We actually have two breakfast specials. This is the last of the second week of our spinach and bacon quiche. We're serving that for a breakfast special all week long. That's coming with a small bowl of mixed fruit on the side with that. It's really tasty stuff. And on Mondays through Fridays from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., we actually have an early bird special. You can get two eggs, some hash browns, one sausage patty, a couple slices of bacon, or some ham. That's only $5.99, so don't forget that 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. every day, Monday through Friday. Our lunch special is still our two ham sliders with sautéed mushrooms and onions. You can add our homemade chips and fries for a dollar onto that. Don't forget that for lunch special all week. And as always, from 11 to 2 on Monday and Friday, it's an all-you-can-eat taco and burrito buffet. It's all you can eat. It's only $7.99. It includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price. You can't beat that. The umbrellas are out. The sun is up. The day is beautiful. We got bottomless mimosas hanging out all day at Caitlin. So all the things we got to offer and more, come on down and check us out.
Okay, Eric.
Yes.
I had somebody call this weekend and said you said it too fast on where you're located. They wanted to come find you, but you were too fast. They couldn't get it down. So
here we go. Where are you located?
Where are you at, man?
We are at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. That's one block east of Colorado Boulevard, and that's in the Glendale Shopping Center.
So I go to Colorado Boulevard. I head down to where?
Head down to the Glendale Shopping Center.
Mississippi, go one block east, and there you are.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right, Eric, thanks a lot.
It's a great restaurant, folks. Go enjoy it.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We talk law. Right now we're talking law with John from Greeley. Wife was in an accident. There was a lot of sleet. John, was one of the lights or all of the lights covered up with the snow and sleet?
The southbound light was covered in sleet. We were facing westbound, waiting to turn northbound, and our light was fine.
What did the elderly gentleman, his light, was his light covered up where you couldn't see it? His light was covered up.
His light was covered up. So he hits us, and, you know, I make sure everybody's okay, and then I start taking video. And less than three minutes after the accident happened, keep in mind the police didn't respond for 20 minutes, but less than 3 minutes after this happened, while I'm recording and I have this on video, another guy almost runs that same light. He slams on his brakes, and while I have him on video, I go up to him and I say, "What did that light look like to you? That it looked like those lights weren't working, right?" And he just shakes his head. The other gentleman that hit me immediately goes up to him and says, "You couldn't tell those lights were working, could you? I think that's my smoking gun right there, because if you can't tell the lights were working, what should you do? Treat it as a four-way stop." And he didn't.
You must have been sitting in the studio during the break. That's exactly what Brad and I were talking about, and that's exactly the conclusion we came to.
That's right.
It gets worse. But it gets worse.
All right. All right.
So the officers show up 20 minutes later. They spend 10 seconds with my wife, and they spend 20 minutes with the guy. They cite my wife for running a red light, saying that supposedly there was a witness that said that we ran a red light, which is impossible because that light was not only green. We had the green arrow. Like, it wasn't on the normal green after the arrow leaves and it's like, yeah, you yield. It was green arrow. The other guy was red. And the other guy that was in the other lane stopped. And plus, both sides of northbound stopped. He was the only one that hit it. So he should have treated his red light. Now, here's where the issue is. We only have liability on the van. And since my wife was issued the ticket, the other party's company, State Farm, basically said, screw you, we aren't touching it. They found you at fault, and we're not going to touch it until it's proven otherwise. It gets more complicated because, one, I don't want to fix it yet until
they pay for it.
We're either found at fault or not fault.
Right.
Not at fault or no fault. But we can't get an adjuster out here. I've had to have friends and family that are certified mechanics come out and give me estimates. But everybody said, you know, don't fix it until you figure it out. And the other thing is, I don't have the money to fix it out. I called the courthouse because I thought there were cameras. There aren't those little cameras. Like, these are big-looking security cameras that were on there.
Right.
But they said, no, there's no camera. I called the sheriff's department. A bunch of other people said, no, there aren't any cameras there. That doesn't really matter. I feel, based on the evidence that I have, I'm fully prepared to take it to trial. But my question is, how the hell do I get State Farm to take action? Or how can I accelerate my court date?
Okay,
this is... I show evidence?
All right.
What do I do with this?
Wait a minute. All right. Okay, John, hang on. Right. Hang on. There was no injuries in the accident, right?
And that's the other thing. Yeah, a lot of lawyers that we call a lot of lawyers, and none of them want to touch it because there's no injuries.
Well, I understand. We're going to help you anyway. It doesn't matter. But I just want to make clear there was no injuries, right?
Right.
Okay.
Nobody went to the hospital. The other party reported no injuries, and we reported.
Because that's going to dictate where you go to court and how you go to court and when. Okay, that's going to dictate it. Because
at the time, nobody reported any injuries. Now I've gone and gotten a police report to try to figure out who this mystery witness is. Nothing in the initial police report. It just says vehicle A struck vehicle B. And then we went back 2 weeks later because I know that officers have a timeline to file an addendum. Nothing. No supplemental reports. No nothing.
Okay, since you don't have any injuries, if you had injuries, you wouldn't want to go to small claims court or county court first on the property damage. You would never want to do that because the doctrine of res judicata means that's your one shot at it and you would lose. So you'd lose on the injury part because you didn't make the claim and you should have. So that's why I asked you the injury question. Okay, so then, yes, you can go to court. This is going to require quite a lengthy discussion, but has there been a hearing you set on the ticket?
No, her first hearing is on May 23rd, and we're down to my vehicle and I work nights, and I have to, you know, do 100 miles an hour on the way home just to get home so we can throw the kids in the truck. So that.
All right, the first hearing for the ticket is going to be critical as to how you plead, she pleads, what you do. So we can't do that on the air. We're going to do that off the air with you. We're going to walk you through that.
Right, I've explained to her, I think we might be on the same page as far as how she pleads and what we say on the first one, especially with the evidence, but I really would like some advice and some help. I really do, because she's not at fault. I mean, she's not.
Okay, so, all right, tell you what we're doing. This is going to require some discussion. Yes, she should go to court. She should plead not guilty. She should request a jury trial, not a court trial, a jury trial on the ticket. And then we're going to talk to you off of the air and walk you through what you need to do with the property damage and the suit, okay?
Please do. Now, my other question, is there any way that I can accelerate the court date? Can I go in and say, hey, I'm prepared to offer all my evidence and, you know, here's
what
I got?
Generally, John, yeah.
I need to prove them at fault before I get State Farm.
I understand.
Anything.
Generally, what you can do is, since there's no injuries, you can sue them in small claims court and you get a quicker trial date in small claims court instead of county court or district court, okay? But we're going to take you through that.
The answer is, let us talk to you off the air, but the short answer is okay. You're probably not going to be able to accelerate that court date, but there's ways to get State Farm going faster than that, because that court date and really doesn't count anyway. And that's why we want to talk to you off the air and let you know what we mean.
Gladly. All right. Please
Okay, John, I'm going to put you on hold. Thank you for the call. Give Kevin your information, and we're going to help you.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for calling us, okay?
Okay.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're here for you. We got a lot of calls this morning. We're going to talk to Rodeo Doc. Hello, Rodeo Doc. What's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Well, good. How you all doing?
I am doing fabulous. I'm rolling south on 25 to take care of a bunch of trail riders this morning.
All right. They going to serve breakfast over there?
They'd better.
Yeah, they better.
I'm hungry, and I can't get to Caitlin.
Pay the doctor. Pay the doctor. What's cooking,
yes,
Doc?
Indeed. Well, that last call just leads right into to the reason that I called in the first place. Brad, you had spoken briefly with one of my patients, and she's facing a deadline here next Wednesday. And her case already has an accident reconstruction done by Dr. Croft out of California. I don't know if you guys have worked with him before or not.
No.
He's a master in public health, PhD, epidemiologist, certified reconstructionist, you know, all the stuff.
Right.
And this is a but-for kind of situation. She was ticketed as the at-fault party, just like this guy's wife.
Right.
The reconstruction established that the guy that hit her was speeding, exceeding the speed limit on one of the streets in the Springs. And but for that, there would have been no accident.
Right.
And it's got her treatment's complete, all that kind of stuff. So it's a hard case. Brad said last weekend he likes the hard cases. So here's one, and I'd love for you guys to get in touch with her.
If I remember, I think she has a lawyer that she's getting rid of, too, doesn't she?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
so, yes. Yeah, I have talked to her. We'll talk off the air, Rodeo Doc, because I have talked to her. She's already got a lawyer who she's not happy with and is not really helping her out, and she's in the process of dumping him. So,
yeah, we'll be glad to help her out, Rodeo Doc. I mean, you're right. Some attorneys don't want to do the quote tough cases. We'll do them all the time. We'll see if we can help her. But reconstruction of an accident is critical, even if you get the ticket, because then it proves that, what the Rodeo Doc's saying. But for the speeding of this other person, which can be proven through physics and reconstruction, there wouldn't have been an accident. So yeah, I think we can dive right in.
Well, terrific. She has, I believe it's the defendant insurance, has backed her against the wall about signing a settlement by next Wednesday.
I know the case, because the problem is that her lawyers accepted that settlement. And so we're going to have to be talking about what's going on, because her lawyers, I think, told her. I've talked to the lawyers. And I think they said they accepted that settlement. They said they had authority, and we'll talk more off the air, Doc. That's a tough one, but we'll talk off the air, because I'm on that one.
That's like diving in the middle of a beehive, but we're ready to go. So, thanks for the call, Doc.
Terrific. Thank you, guys. Be blessed.
Okay, thanks. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're here for you. 303-713-8255. You go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Why? Because we are your champions of the people. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, Law Talk Show, the only show of its kind. Pull up your legal chair, get your legal coffee and your legal bagel. We're ready to go for you, 303-713-8255. And we had a call from Robert. He held a long time. Robert, if you're listening, we're sorry. We apologize to you. We couldn't get to your call. Been very busy today. We appreciate your call and all calls. And right now we're going to appreciate Cindy. Good morning, Cindy. Thank you for holding so long.
Thank you. I had a couple of questions.
Okay.
And we've talked before. I'm the one with the large retail store problem.
Right.
And I'm in the middle of this contesting. They're telling me that I'm too old and that's why I got hurt.
Right.
And I know that is. This doesn't pay. This case doesn't pay. But I'm supposed to have another pre-hearing because I balked at some of the questions that he asked. I mean, he even asked about my gynecological history, and I hurt my thumb. But anyway, and those are pretty far apart.
Yeah, they're quite they're pretty far apart.
So. Right.
But one thing I was wondering is that he's kind of had me on the, you know, on the defensive to where I'm not. I was just wondering. He gave me a bunch of interrogatories. I answered some, rejected some. As you know, you got to be kidding.
Right.
And then I was wondering, what can I ask him in that? What he did was that he said I didn't fill out some discovery paperwork, which he never sent me. And so he has this court case all the way out till August.
Okay, but I think, haven't we talked to you several times before?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if I remember right, haven't you met with one of our attorneys?
Yeah. But nobody will take my case because it doesn't pay anything.
Yeah, well, I think we've tried to answer your questions as best we can. We'll be glad to still do it. What is your question for us today?
Okay, the question is what would be a good interrogatory question to ask them? And also, I'm due to go back to work, and my hand is still pretty jacked up.
Well, a good interrogatory question to ask them is give us specifically the reason or reasons, give you specifically the reason or reasons that you are denying paying this claim, and please answer specifically with regard to any medical condition or legal reason that you're not going to pay the claim. That would be a great question to ask.
Okay.
Okay.
And then also, whenever I go back to work, and if my hand still hurts, because it does, what rights do I have?
Okay, well, it depends on what your doctor's orders are. If your doctor puts you on work restrictions...
He didn't. He
okay,
didn't.
So then you have to take the job, you have to go back to work, or you get your own doctor to counter that doctor's opinion. But the bottom line is, if the workers' compensation doctor said you got to go back to work with no restrictions, that's what you have to do.
That's the problem. He's not a workman's compensation doctor. I got the surgery outside of workman's comp because workman's comp wouldn't pay for it.
Well, okay, workers' comp or no workers' comp doctor, it doesn't matter. Medical doctor, if they've cleared you for work, you got to go to work. If you don't think you're eligible or you can do the work, you need to go to a doctor and see if you can get a doctor's opinion or script saying you're restricted or you can't go to work. It's just that simple.
It's just that simple.
So, well, you know, it. We're going okay. It's just that simple. But here's the thing that you're facing. First of all, some of those questions probably are inappropriate.
And, they're way inappropriate.
And I think once you get to a hearing, you're probably going to be successful in having a judge or a hearing officer say, look, these are inappropriate. You shouldn't be making or answer these questions. So you got to get down the nitty gritty of what really is the issue here. And what they're trying to claim is the reason why they shouldn't pay you and for your injury. As far as going back to work, it sounds like even the doctor who did your surgery is now saying that that doctor thinks you're able to go back to work.
Well, what's funny is that whenever he was dealing with the people that was taking care of the long-term disability, just leave of absence. I don't have any disability. That's what I'm fighting about because I haven't been paid because I've been off work getting better. But anyway, he said that in one bit of paperwork that I would have limitations, and now it's I don't have limitations.
Well, the bottom line, whether we like it or you like it or anybody likes it, is that when the doctors say you're released with no restrictions, that controls until it's changed by that doctor or another doctor.
Yeah, the doctors drive the bus on that part,
yeah.
on physical limitations. Now, there are a lot of doctors out there who will tell you they don't like to, and they won't. Give limitations or say you can't go back to work because they want you to, they say that you ought to actually try and see if you can do the job.
Oh, no, I think I really should. I really do. But I was just wondering what would happen if I say, like, if I'm checking people out and it just really aches. Like, do I have any?
You got to. The answer is, Cindy, you got to go back to the doctor. If you have a medical problem and they didn't catch it, or you have another problem or a worse problem, you go back to the doctor and explain to them. Because you can talk all day long, but until the doctor gives you certain kind of relief or script or restrictions or some kind of relief, the doctor's opinion and script controls.
But I'm worried. The doctor you have taking care of you right now, Cindy, is that a level two certified work comp doctor?
Well, he's the doctor I saw during workman's comp, and then whenever the lead lady who was taking care of me generally, and I got referred to this hand surgeon, she said, well, we're not going to pay for the surgery.
Well, Cindy, we'll be glad to talk to you more off the air. I think we've tried to help you before.
We'll do it.
We got to go, so I'm going to put you on hold, okay?
Okay.
All right. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, you can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Don't forget about it. If you want to know what to do, what to say, how to approach the first call with the insurance adjuster after you've been in an accident, go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. If you want any of our books, they're free. You can download the e-copies free at championsofthepeople.com. You know, don't get hurt in the same accident twice, once in the accident and again on the insurance claim. That's one of our books. The other book is Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. Covers everything you wanted to know about Hit and Run, plus all the insurance information, and we have a complete, detailed, definitive guide on workers' compensation injuries, and we have a new book coming out shortly with regard to car accidents. If you want a free accident assistance packet, you request one, we'll do it. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll see you next week.